Thank you, Brother Richard. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in his house this morning? I want to welcome everyone that is here today. It's a blessing to be in the house of God, and especially today, I want to thank you for remembering to come on time. Amen. Praise God that we're able to be here this morning. Welcome all the visitors. And thank you for being here. Amen. Praise God. You know, the Lord, I believe I had a message, or I have a message. I'm not sure what's going to happen. But it kind of got, as we were worshiping and as we were singing, kind of got shifted around a little bit. How many of you enjoyed the worship service this morning? Those were some really, 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 really good songs. Amen. And if you look at the words of these songs speak to us about our Creator and what He has done for us. We started out by saying, this is amazing grace. He breaks the power of sin and darkness. His love is mighty. It's so much stronger than any other love that there can be. He is the King of glory. This is unfailing love. Can you say amen? His is unfailing love. That He would take my place. That He would bear my cross. That He would lay down His life. That I could be set free. Are you grateful for that this morning? As we enter this time or this season where we are going to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. And what... And not only what He did for us on the cross, but the fact that He rose on the third day to give us eternal life. It just brings us to a place where we look at this song, where I look at this song and it says, He makes the orphan a son and daughter. He brings chaos back into order. He rules. He shines like the sun because He is the King of glory. So worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want us to go to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. And as you're turning your Bible there, I want you to think of something. Because the next song that we sang says, His love never fails. Do you really believe in your heart and trust in your heart that no matter what's happened in your life, no matter what you've gone through, Jesus loves you. And He cares for you. Regardless of what your background or your circumstances may be, His love never fails. It never runs out, it says. It's higher. It's stronger than anything in this world. And it's constant in the trial. And it goes on and on. The love of Jesus does not fade from day to day. It doesn't say, He doesn't say to you, I love you today, but this afternoon I'm gonna fail God, so He's not going to love me as much as He did this morning. He doesn't do that, does He? His love is constant. His love is real. His love is amazing. And we can be confident in knowing that because of His love, we can come to church and we can sing songs of praise and worship to Him. And so see, these songs that we sang and these songs that we sing, every time that we come to church and every time that we have a service, when we sing praises unto God, we are declaring God's love to us and for us. And we're saying that if we draw closer to Him, when we say, Lord, pull me a little closer. Take me a little deeper. I want to know Your heart. And we are grateful for what He has done for us on the cross and for what He has done in our lives. Then it draws us into His presence. And when we are drawn into the presence, things happen. Things change. Do you believe that when God when we sing praises unto God and we worship Him, regardless of the circumstances, when we can praise God in the middle of the storm, that things can change, things can happen. Psalms 103, verse 1, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Bless the Lord, O my soul. Basically, that's just saying worship the Lord. You're telling yourself to worship God, to bless His name. But then it says, all that is within me. All that is within me, bless His holy name. All that is within me. So when we sing and we say, Lord, pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper, I want to know Your heart, we're saying, with all of my heart, Lord, draw me closer to You. I want to be closer to You. And then when we sing, Heaven Come, and we say, Lord, You are the one whose presence I seek and I desire. And we say to Him, Your presence is heaven. Oh, to be with You. Just to be with You. Your glory around me. To be with You. I love to be with You. Now, when does this happen? Does it happen only on Sunday mornings? Can it or should it happen only on Sunday mornings? No, this should be our life. Our life should be a worship. So when the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. He's saying, I want you to do this, because if you look at Psalms 34, verse 1, Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my lips. I will bless the Lord at all times. When should we bless the Lord? All the time. When you're washing the dishes, when you're chopping the wood, when you're working your regular job, when you are going down the road, bless the Lord at all times. Let me tell you what happens when we do this. When we can get into the habit of doing this, because our life should be a lifestyle of worship. When we can get into the habit of blessing the Lord at all times, letting His praise be continually in our lips, something is going to change. Something is going to happen. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. When we choose to bless the Lord and worship Him, something is going to change. Your sins will be forgiven. Healing can come. Deliverance can come. God's hand will be upon you. And it goes on to say some of the benefits of God. We're going to look at them here. But you see, when we bless the Lord, and we don't put God in a box, and we don't say He is here today because we're here in church on Sunday morning, but He is with us on Monday morning as well. And we bless His name. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Something is going to change. Something always changes when we bless His name. The atmosphere that is created is an atmosphere of His presence. And what happens when we are in the presence of God and when the presence of God is with us? We carry that presence wherever we go. When we walk in to a place, we are to be the light of the world, right? The salt of the earth. When we go somewhere, when we do something, when we encounter situations, and we are blessing His holy name, we are praising Him, regardless of the situations, things are going to happen. The Bible gives us an example in the book of Acts about Paul and Silas being in jail, and they begin to praise the Lord, worship him. And what happened? The chains fell off. The prison doors were opened. God delivered them. God did something. Something changed from the normal into the abnormal. Something changed from what, well, this is the way it is, to allowing the supernatural to come in and do something great on our behalf. Because he says, don't forget his benefits. How many of us, God has done something for us at one point or another in our life that was awesome and great? Can we forget? We must remember. We must remember what God has done for us. Let's not forget his benefits. Because what are those benefits? What changes when we bless the Lord with all our heart? He forgives all our sins. He forgives all our sins. That's what you call change. He heals all our diseases. That's what you call change. He redeems our life from destruction. He redeems our life from destruction. He takes us from where we were to where we can be, and for where we should be in him. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. But you see, this doesn't just happen because we want it to happen. When we pour out our worship, our life becomes a worship, our everything. We look at it this way. And I want you to consider this. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible tells us that he was there, he was praying, he was saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And he was battling with this, and he sweated great drops of blood. The stress was so great upon him that this was what he was feeling, and this was what he was going through. But you know what he told his disciples? He said, watch and pray. But what was he doing? He was praying. Prayer is part of the worship that we do. Jesus worshiped. We may not think of it in those terms, but when he was in that garden going through that awful trial he was feeling, when he said, not my will, but thine be done, that's worship. When we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, we're saying, Lord, let not my will be done, let your will be done. And we're saying, Lord, take my situation and turn it around and help me to get through this. And God does. Did God take him through it? Yes. Did he go through it? Yes. And when we look at this and we say, we see his yes to us in those nail-pierced hands. We see his yes to us on that cross and what he did for us. And we begin to think of it in those terms because all that is within us, what are we doing when we're saying yes to God? What are we doing when we say, with all that is within me, I will worship him? We're saying, Lord, I want to obey you. Obedience becomes the key factor here. Because we see his yes to us, his obedience to us. He obeyed what his Father commanded him to do. We will love the Lord, we will walk in his commands, and then it becomes more than a song that we sing. It becomes more than words. It becomes more than a song that we sing. These are great songs that we sing, but it becomes more than a song. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a reality that we are now laying our life down because he laid his life down for us. We are saying, I deny myself. I take up my cross and follow him. And we are saying, I will love you with my yes. I will say yes to you. And I lay down my will and I take up your will. And the worship becomes a joy. It becomes a joy to lose your life in him. It becomes a joy because you find it in Jesus Christ. You find that love in Jesus Christ. He didn't die. He did not die for us to come on Sunday mornings to just sing a few songs. Did you know that? He did not die for us to come and do that. But the reason we do that is so that we can understand that when we bless the Lord with all that is within us, our lifestyle becomes a song of worship to him. That's why he created us for to begin with. Did you know that? God created us to be creatures of worship. We worship our Creator, the one who made us. And in order to worship the one who made us, well, you got to know the one who made you. You got to get acquainted with him. You got to have a relationship with him. You got to fall in love with him. You got to love him to the point where you say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Who is saying this in this psalm? David. And King David went through some things that you and I can relate to because we're all in the same boat. We all go through things. We all deal with things. Things happen. Life happens, right? We go through things. And yes, but you know what? Because David was a man after God's own heart and a man who worshiped God. You know, we have this picture of David being out there with the sheep, with his harp, composing all these psalms and singing all these psalms to God. What was he doing? He was worshiping. It became a lifestyle for him. So when the day came that he allowed his flesh to take over for a moment and he fell and someone brought it to his attention, he knew that there was restoration possible. And that restoration came to his life. He knew that he wasn't, because he had done all this stuff. He'd written all these psalms, and he even wrote this psalm. And he had written the psalm that says, you know, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my lips. But something happened that particular moment, that was not what he was doing. And he fell. But he was able to write Psalm 51 and say, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me, because he had the heart of worship to begin with. It was there. It just needed to be, he needed to remind himself, Lord, you've given me all these things. I don't want to forget your benefits. So restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And he prayed that because he was a worshiper. And he knew what he needed to do to come back to the place of worship. There's a song that says, I want to see if I can remember exactly how the words go, but it says, coming back to the heart of worship. Come back to the heart of worship. Why? Because when we worship with all that is within us, as I said earlier, something always changes. The air gets cleaner. The sun shines brighter. My soul feels the presence of God. And let all that is within me shout out to God. I will love you, Lord, and walk in your commands. What am I laying down? I'm laying down my life. I'm laying down everything that I am. I'm laying down my reputation. I'm laying down whatever it is that I go through. I'm laying it down and I'm taking it to the cross and I'm saying, Lord, if you gave your life for me like that, what's the least I can do but give you my life? And when I give you my life and I lose my life in you, you give me the joy of the Lord that becomes my strength. You give me the peace that passes all understanding. You give me a love that is unbelievable, a perfect love that casts out all fear. And this is the things that God blesses us with. And it goes on to say in Psalm 103, we're still there, in verse 5, He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Does He not? He renews your youth. How many of you feel like you need to get your youth renewed? Did you know that it says right there, we worship Him, He's going to renew my youth. I want to not sidetrack, but the other day, and I shared this at one of the Bible studies, and I shared with Pastor, and I told him, you know, because he himself said some time back in the beginning of the year in a message, he said, this is the year where the Acts chapter 2 will begin to be fulfilled in a greater measure, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And I know a couple of you have shared your visions, and I told Pastor, well, I had a dream. I guess that means I'm old. I had a dream. But you know what? God is speaking. But as we begin to give our lives to Him totally, it's a saying, Lord, you know what? I, with all that is within me, I will bless your name. What is He going to do for us? He's going to make changes. Somebody mentioned it earlier this morning, I think in pre-prayer or sometime. There's a scripture that says that we can put 1,000 to flight. As we become worshipers, it becomes our warfare. Our worship is our warfare. Our praise is a weapon against the enemy. So in this dream that I had, we were all in church, like now, but the chairs were different. They were all to one side and to the other, so the middle was open. And most of the people that regularly attend were on this side, and I was sitting there in the middle somewhere. And over on this side, there was a total strangers. I did not know who they were. Didn't recognize a single one of them. And Pastor was about to preach, or he was preaching. I could, you know, kind of hear him talking here at the front. And all of a sudden, I hear this noise behind me. And I turn around, and there's a crowd of people coming through the doors. And as this crowd of people was coming through the doors, they were making a lot of racket. Some of them had clubs and baseball bats and arms. They were armed. They had knives. They had hatchets. They had all these things that I was looking at. And I turned around, and the first thing that came to me was that scripture. One of you shall put 1,000 to flight. And I stood up, and the leader, or whoever was in front, came straight at me, right there in the mouth, the middle there. And I just put my hand like that. And he couldn't go any further than that. As a matter of fact, as I started walking forward, he started walking backwards. And all the rest that were behind him started walking backwards. But they were making a big, big racket. And the rest of us here began to stand and just go like that. But when we began, and what I believe, and as they left, and they were like, I mean, they were loud. I can't even describe it to you. Have you ever been in a situation or in a place where someone is really loud and threatening, and they're threatening you, they're angry, and they want to, yeah, and what does that make you feel like? Like, I better not get close to that, right? I do not want to be in this place. I'm leaving. You don't want to face that fear, because that's what first thing you feel like is, if they attack me, Or if they're so angry, I might get hurt. In this case, though, there was no fear. We all stood up and we went like that. And they just began to back out of the building and they walked out of the parking lot and they got in their cars and they left. And the Lord, I begin, was trying to tell us, you know what? And the enemy wants to attack. The enemy wants to divide and conquer. The enemy wants to have his way. But if the Bible says, one of you can put 1,000 to flight, if we understand that if we worship God with all that is within us, and we bless his holy name, that our worship is our warfare. Our praise is the weapon. And we just say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're in control. We stand in faith. We trust in you. We believe in you. You are Lord. You are the God of gods, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings. Then, in that moment of apparent defeat and frustration and confusion, we can have victory. Because God is with us. But we've got to understand, it's got to come from everything that is within us. I cannot overemphasize what it tells us there in verse 1. All that is within me. Not 95% of what is within me. And leave 5% saying, Lord, that part's not going to bless you. No, it says all of you. All of it. All of it. He goes on to say, so that who satisfies with your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Talking about something changing, how about parting the Red Sea? How about causing manna to fall from heaven every day? How about bringing the Israelites through the desert with their clothes and their shoes intact for 40 years? How about the water from the rock? And you name all the miracles that God did for them. But you know, something happened. The other day, I was reading in the book of Judges. And if you've ever read the book of Judges, you know that in that book, the Israelites had some issues. For whatever reason, they would leave God and go off and worship other gods. Then they would come back and say, Lord, we're sorry. And God would send them a deliverer. And they went back and forth several times doing that. But you know, the Lord says in his word that if we trust him with our whole heart, and lean not on our own understanding, and acknowledge him in all his way, in all our ways, he will be with us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. You see, they would go off and get conquered by an enemy and feel like, what happened? Where's God? Well, God never left, but they did. When we say, I will bless the Lord, and I will bless him and all that is within me will bless his holy name. We're saying, Lord, I'm not going to forget you. I'm not going to forget your benefits, because that's what they did. They forgot the deliverance from the Red Sea. They forgot all those things that God did for them. And so as they forgot that, the human tendency is always that when we forget what God does, we just go off in the other direction, because that's what we are. We're humans. And we fail sometimes. For that reason. But if they had always had their eyes focused on, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. And his praise will continually be in my lips. If they had had that focus, they would never have gone through the hard times. Because this is what it's all about. How many of you can say to yourself this morning, sometimes I bring things upon myself because I do it. I mess it up. You see, it happens. But here's the point. Here's the challenge to every single one of us. If I bless the Lord at all times, and if I say with all that is within me, I will bless his name, amazing things will happen. God will do some wonderful things in our lives. If we say, well, okay, that sounds really good, but then we go our own way and do our own thing, well, God's just saying, I can't bless you unless you bless me. And it's not so much that God can't, it's that he knows that we are the ones, we're the ones that have the battle. He's already won the battle. We're the ones that have the battle. And we have to strive to worship him in this way. We got to strive to be obedient to his commands. We got to strive because he says in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? When the prodigal son came back home, he was expecting to maybe get a lecture from his dad, or at the very least, or be demoted to, you're not really my son anymore, you left. Remember, you took your inheritance and you left. And so he would be glad to just be a hired servant. But the father said, no, you're my son. You've always been my son. You will always be my son. I will always love you no matter what you do. Do you know that God says that to us? But we sometimes don't say that to ourselves, right? We feel the guilt of what we've done and we say, will God really forgive me? Well, if I understand what it means to love him with all my heart, soul, and mind, if I understand what it means to bless the Lord with all that is within me, then I'll know that he has taken my iniquity, my sin, and totally thrown it as far as you can throw it and never be seen again. Because that's the God of love that we serve. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. We are the ones who don't remember that we are dust. We forget. The things we should forget, we remember. The things that we should remember, we forget. But we got to remember what God has done for us, what his benefits are. And we got to forget that we're not here forever. And that the time that we have here on earth is a time that we must redeem. Now that we have this time change, when we go to daylight savings time, what happens to the hour? Did we gain one or did we lose one? I don't know. I'm confused. I don't think anything really changed, actually. There's still 24 hours in a day, right? What do we need to do with our time? Redeem it. Use it to worship him. Praise him. Praise him. It's my life that I need to lay down. And you know what? That involves some action. That involves some doing. There's action involved here. It's more than words. It's more than a song. It's my life laid down. And I lay down my will. Because when I say, with all that is within me, that's what I'm doing. I'm laying down my will. This last song that we sang says, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountain, and your justice flows like the ocean tide. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King, and I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. get a picture of the amazing love of God. What he did for us on that cross. What he did for us on that day when he gave his life for us. He was saying this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I will lay my life down for these people, and I will give my life for them. And they in turn will understand what it means, and they will lay down their lives for me and serve me and worship me." Because that's what I want, is to have be worshiped and to have that fellowship and that relationship with my Savior and my Lord, Jesus Christ. This is not religion. This is not Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. This is not anything except giving our lives, laying down our lives. Laying down our lives. Counting the cost. Did you know that when I say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name," I'm saying, "Lord, I'm laying down my life to the point where everything else," as Pastor has mentioned it time and time again, "everything else becomes strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Because his glory is what it's all about. He is what it's all about. He is what it's all about. Not me, not you, not anybody in this entire world. It's all about him if we believe and trust his word. So that's the question. Do we believe and trust his word? Can we say this morning, "I will lay down my life. I will say all that is within me, bless his holy name." The psalm goes on. Now, but I want to jump down to verse 20. It says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength and who do his work, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Is he worthy of our praise? Is he worthy? The angels praise him. The angels bless him. They do his will, but they bless him and they praise him. In the book of Revelation, it tells us, you know, they've got these 24 elders and these four living creatures. And what are they doing night and day, day and night? Worshiping before the throne, worshiping the Father. Day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They don't stop. That's what heaven is. And when we say heaven come, we're saying, "Lord, we want to worship you like that. We want to lay down our lives and say, with everything that is within me, with everything that is within me, I'm going to pour out my worship. I'm going to pour out my life with everything that is within me for what you have done for me, what your love has done to me." You see, Jesus did too much for us to say, "Okay, thanks, Lord." You know what I'm saying? Gratitude for what Jesus has done can never be fully expressed. He's done everything for us. The least we can do is lay our lives for him. The least we can do is worship him and praise him. Worship him and praise him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And as the worship team comes up, I'm going to ask Brother Richard to come up. If you feel this morning that you have not come to that place, to that place in your life where you can say, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Then let's strive for that. Let's work towards that so that Jesus becomes everything to us. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, the Word of God says, as I was hearing him bring the message, that you're here and today you're breathing, right? Are you sure? The Word of God tells us, let everything that has breath praise his name. When Brother Jimmy was saying how much God has done for us, you never appreciate your health till you lose it, right? I know this week I went through that. But you know, God has you here for a purpose, and that's to hear God's word. You're not here by accident. Never are you here by accident, and nobody dragged you here, right? Nobody got dragged in here. Because the message was for us to know what God requires from us. And you know, people express themselves in other things. But when God demonstrated his love on a cross for you, he laid his life. He expressed his love. He said he demonstrated his love while we were yet sinners. He demonstrated that to you. And if God loves you that much, can we express that to him today in gratitude and say, love is something we express. How many like to be loved? All of us? Today, if we can come and worship the Lord. He's not asking anything but worship. To demonstrate your love toward him. Years ago, well, it seemed like years ago, but we don't sing that song like we used to sing, I Surrender All. Remember that song, some of you? We said, I really surrender everything. And I know 48 years ago, I gave my life to the Lord. And I don't regret a moment of it. Because he has saved me from a lot of stuff I would have partaken if I wouldn't have surrendered everything. And I express my love to God because he changed my life. And he's willing to change your life. He said, I come to church, but just to come to church and never demonstrate that love to him, I can't imagine what God would feel. But this moment, we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. How many are sure you're going to be here tomorrow? None of us, right? But we have this moment today. We have this time today that's very important for God to be worshipped. So today, if we can stand up, and if you need prayer, I always want to give time for prayer. If you need to come for someone to pray with you and say, I need to feel that presence of God, because God's presence is here, right? Can you feel God today? That he's trying to communicate something to you today through the worship. God wants to touch your life. I don't know how you feel, but I know I come to church to connect with God. Not that I don't connect during the week, but as we get corporately and assemble today, God's presence just wants to come right here. And if you never have accepted Christ, hopefully everybody has here, but I don't know. If you never have really come to that decision, say, I want Christ, I want God to really take possession of my life, to be my Lord and Savior. That's his whole purpose. He created you to build a relationship with you, to get close to you. But by your words of confession, by saying, God, I really want you in my life. I really want to surrender everything of myself to you. Because it's something that God is wanting from you, to surrender your heart, your life, and say, God, I'm here. I don't understand at all, but I want everything that you have for me. If today you're giving me breath, You're breathing. God put that in you. It can be cut off so quickly today. And you never had the opportunity to express yourself to Him. Because eternity is for real. You're either going to spend eternity with Him or eternity apart from Him. But you make that choice. But today, if you never have accepted Christ, say, I want to accept Christ. How many here say, I want to accept Christ? Totally. Totally. Not just, He don't want half of you or three-fourths of it. He wants everything because you belong to Him. You were created in His image. So legally, you belong to Him. But He has to come from your mouth to say, I want you into my life. So today, if you really want to accept Christ, but even if you do, today, can we, those that want to come to the front and worship, the altar is open. But there where you're at, lift your hands. Lift your hands, say, God, I want to worship you today. Can we do that today? Without no shame, without no holding back and say, God, here I am. What's left of today, what's left of me today, Lord God, here I am. I want to surrender myself to you. I want you to fill my heart. Because if you came to that purpose today, to God's house, God wants to touch. He wants your presence to be in you today. Don't leave this place without feeling God's presence. Without shame, to say, God, here I am. I want to worship you.